The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You actually do act like a Christian, but you're not acting. It's just the real deal. I think that's the difference.
Coming up, Christine Kane from Hillsong Church challenges us to live an authentic Christian life.
They will believe what we say once they see that we do it. They want to see that it's true, then they'll believe that it's true. It's you can't just tell them this is the truth. I think they're looking at our lives and they're saying, is this working? Is this real for you?
Stop acting like a Christian and just be one. Next on Life Today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad for the opportunity we have to share this time with you on Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have Christine Kane here with us, and I'm looking at the cover of her book, Stop Acting Like a Christian, Just Be One, and There's Salt being poured out. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and that really is supposed to add flavor. It's not supposed to be bitter and make your face turn like you're just solid salt. It just adds flavor. But a lot of Christians, they kind of dress up like they think Christians are supposed to dress, but they don't, you know, they don't really be who they say they are. They need to become who they are, and that's what Christine's talking about. Equip and Empower Ministry, Hillsong in Australia. And by the way, to all the Australian friends, I know we come on quite early in the morning. Those of you who are up at this bright moment, you must be prayer warriors, or you must be having trouble sleeping. But you know what I found? Many of you just record the program and you play it when it's convenient. And of course, when everything gets straightened out with all those stations over there, they'll understand they ought to have us right up there at an easy time of the day. But in the meantime, just be nice and pray and just be a Christian. Don't be tacky. And you haven't been. You've been a wonderful inspiration. Thank God for Hillsong. Thank God for our wonderful friends there and for Christine Kane. Would you welcome her here to the U.S. and to Life Today? Christine, good to have you again.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, you travel a lot trying to equip and empower people, but what in the world inspired you to write this book?
Well, it really came out of being called to go to city after city with people saying, Chris, can you come and do a crusade and maybe win our city to Christ? And I thought, we are never going to get the job done if we just depend on that. We actually need to mobilize Christians to be salt and light in their own world. And if we could just have the church being the church and Christians being Christians, then we'd actually get the job done.
It'd be amazing.
I tell you.
I would like to go in a place like that, because it's so many people who wear the adornment and kind of dress up like they think they're supposed to, but to love their neighbor and to love their enemy, and to forgive people that hurt them, to just be who they say. Where are these people? Because I know they're there. We have a lot of them who watch us on television and who love us, and they love what we do. And a lot of them are saying, I just wish we could find more people around us who had this kind of spirit and what's happening to us. And really and truly, though, the way you catch it is just go out and be the salt and go out and be.
Well, that's it. I think a lot of times we mistaken Christianity for a behavior modification program. It's kind of like I'm become a Christian, so I'm just concerned with my external behavior. And I think normally Christians can take two steps forward, then sort of three steps back, and they're constantly striving. You know, I'm trying to act like it. Whereas if we allow God to change us truly from the inside out, all the striving would be out of it. We would just be who we're supposed to be, so we wouldn't be acting like one. We really would be one. And then we would be acting like one, but we wouldn't be acting. We would really be.
It would be real.
So you can wrap your head around that.
Wow, I'm glad you put that in a book where I can read that over and over. But that really
don't
is.
You, you know, don't you think a lot of times Christians do that, though, as a defense mechanism so that there's, because maybe there's still a lot of hurt inside that they haven't dealt with, or a lot of anger, or just a lot of problems that they feel like, well, if I dress it all up, then I won't have to.
And somehow it'll go away. Well, I know in my own background, you know, I came from a broken background. I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born. I experienced abuse as I was growing up. And so there was a lot of pain. And, you know, although I was gifted and talented, my gift was quickly taking me to a place that my inner world just couldn't keep me. And eventually, and I talk about this in the book, I just kind of had to stop. I couldn't run anymore. And God literally, I think, got me flat on my back for 6 weeks to just begin to deal with my inner world and say, okay, Christine, we need to strengthen your spiritual core. And so then you won't have to keep trying to strive to act like a Christian externally. you'll be one from the inside out, and then you'll just be salt and light wherever you go. You won't try to be being salt and light. You just will be.
Yeah. Well, does that happen when you, do we have to all be flat on our back for 6 weeks for this to happen?
No, when they're, you know,
could we just read your book? Yeah,
that will help, and the devotional in that will help, but I'm Australian, we're a little bit tenacious, you know, it takes a little bit more to get it through our heads.
But what puts you down? What put, when you say you're flat on your back, what happens?
I think just physically I hit a point of exhaustion and my back, and I wouldn't rest.
And was this
think,
while you were a Christian?
Yeah, and,
while
and
you
I was
were
in
to
ministry,
do God's work?
I was just running and like literally I just kept pushing the envelope far too much, and I think I was too scared to be still in case I found out what really was going on, and that there's a bit of a disparity between my inner world and my outer world. And you know, the truth is, if there's a disparity between the inside and the outside, your world will collapse. Yeah. And I think that's, I really talk there from the great commandment, how to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and mind. And I think what the Lord showed me was that I was loving him sincerely, but my heart was broken, my soul was wounded, and my mind was tormented. Mm. And so while I was loving him in that fragmented way, my capacity then to love my neighbours, I love myself. Well, I was loving my neighbours, I love myself, I just didn't like myself. So I wasn't too good with my neighbour either.
Mm. Well, you know what happens, I think, to a lot of us who are sincere in our Christian faith and we want to help others. I think sometimes we get busy doing good things and we don't end up doing the best things. And one of the best things is actually what happened to you, not when you were incapacitated or you had to lay down, but when you got still and knew that he was God.
Yeah.
When you suddenly stopped all the activity and the acts you talk about and started being his child, so to speak, and just loving him and not thinking I've got to go prove it, but just loving him. It seemed like you were restored. That happened to me. I burned out. I did too much. I weep over the fact that I spent so much time trying to help everybody else's children and spending so little time with my own children. I don't have fond memories of those days that I think a father should have because I was absent. Right. And what I was doing was good. And I was doing the work of God, but I don't really think I was totally in the will of God. And I really do believe that I was unnecessarily chasing after things I thought were right and missing the best things. And I think a lot of people have that happen to them. And then being who they are becomes a stressful situation, or it becomes form and an act in the way they dress or the way they wear their hair or do or don't wear makeup and how they do it. And they want to look like all the rest of them. And we just kind of get along and get by. And I don't want to live there anymore. I'm not going to, Christine. Betty and I have really, we committed to stop chasing after all the things that look like they're the good things to do for God and to love God. And one of the ways I love God is to love her, spend more time with her, spend more time with him, and love people wherever they are. You know what? I found it easier to love people when I can see them with God's eyes, think about them with his mind, rather than in this religious act where I'm measuring them by how we act and how our group acts and look at how their group acts and then we're not like them. This whole thing gets real huffy and ugly all of a sudden. We're not really being Christians, we're just acting like religious people.
Well, that's it, and it all just becomes like a religious obligation, and we creedalize and bureaucratize and institutionalize our faith, and there's no life or passion left in it anymore. And it's so easy to just get into that routine of, you know, I just do this religious obligation for an hour on a Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week kind of just exist rather than authentically being transformed by Christ and then living that, I think, the radical adventure 24/7 that impacts every area of your life, emotional, spiritual, financial, relational, physical. I think an encounter, an authentic encounter with Christ, it just touches every aspect of our life and then causes us and compels us, not out of a sense of striving, but a genuine love and passion for God to want to go and change the world around us and help people.
I think a lot of people are afraid of an encounter with God, because I know I began out as a young Christian really kind of being afraid of God, not really having that growing relationship with him, you know, and I thought, well, I'll do this and I'll do that, and we get busy, like you said, doing this and doing this, but we're afraid to be still and allow God to speak to us a lot of times and to really allow him to open up our hearts for us to be yielded to him, because we don't know what we know what we think he'll find in there, but he already knows anyway. You know, but we let the expectations of people kind of stifle our realness sometimes.
Well, totally. Mm-hmm. I think that where a lot of it comes from. And I remember when I was lying, that period of time on the couch where I read in the Psalms just the phrase, "He delighted in me." Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get past those four words. And it was like this radical revelation that God delights in me with all my brokenness, all my woundedness, all of my mistakes that I made of my own volition, let alone the ones that weren't. I thought He delighted in me. I couldn't get my head around that for weeks, literally. It was, and I think that was all part of the journey. Once you really begin to understand the grace and love of God, that's the place where you don't strive any longer. You don't want to please people mm-hmm. necessarily or just go through a boring religious obligation. You end up in this passionate love affair. So you actually do act like a Christian, but you're not acting. It's mm-hmm. just the real deal. I think that's the difference.
You know, God really, I do think you can really hear God. I don't think you hear Him well. His word and Him communicating with you, if you don't know what He wrote, I don't think you really hear what He speaks well. I don't think you can identify His voice. I think if you get to know His word, you'll know His voice. And I took great joy in hearing Him say that, you're a hoot to me. I get awesome. A real buzz out of you. And this is like the kind of stuff I hear, man. I think you're very entertaining. He just loves, and I thought, well, that's really cool. And He really told me one time that I looked like a flower garden to Him. And He said, "You're just growing the most beautiful flowers." And I thought, hey, that's cool. I mean, I'm a macho man. I look at those flowers. You know? But, I mean, I understood what that was saying, and that there's something beautiful coming out of my life. And I'm hearing this from God. It's like God is enjoying me. And I began to enjoy God in the reality of that relationship, that He really thinks I'm cool, and we need to hear that because that is who I am. I don't have to go do something to be His kid or His child. I mean, just be who I am. I mean, this is the funniest thing, but our little dachshund teaches me so much about how to be toward God. I mean, she's so glad to see me. I can be gone 10 minutes and come back, and she's so happy I'm here. And, and really and truly, God, He likes me to come see Him.
Totally.
And just, hey, oh, I'm glad to see you. But the thing is, I need to be that excited about seeing God.
That's great.
And this is really where I am in the relationship with God. And this is what I hear you saying. And I'm going to tell you, when you get around people, I really do believe this, Christine, if you ever meet anybody that really loves Jesus and Jesus is real to them and they're not going through this act, it's an unforgettable experience.
Totally.
You'll never forget that person.
Well, I remember I was at university once and one of my girlfriends, I hadn't seen her for 3 days, she came up to me and she ran up and I said, where have you been, Deb? And at that point, she pulls out an ecstasy tablet. This is right when ecstasy just hit Australia, rave parties just hit Australia, right there in the cafeteria. And she began weeping. She goes, "Christine, I've just been at this most incredible party for 3 days, 3 nights. We didn't sleep, we danced. There was so much love and joy and peace." I mean, she was going on. And she goes, "And I didn't want you to miss out on this experience. So what I did was I saved you some of this tablet because I want you to experience what I experienced." And right there, I just started to weep and I thought, this girl has more passion for her synthetic drug than I actually do for my supposed relationship with Jesus. Yeah. It was like this wake-up call for me. And I remember then thinking, I will never let someone be more passionate about that or, about the things that are not of God than I am with Jesus. And I realized for so much of many of us, our Christianity has become like a passionless, boring religious obligation. It's just something we do, and it's something like, you hear language of, I have to do that. I'm a Christian, so I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to give. And, you do what you want from passion, not what you have to. I remember when Nick and I, before we met, we went to Bible school. I was the lecturer. We're the same age, but he went to Bible college later. And he says he fell in love with the teacher, so he was trying to find ways to get into my world. And we have a rule in our Bible college, students cannot date in their first year, but there was no rules about students and teachers. And so he was really, he was actively pursuing. And so I used to swim every morning at 6 a.m. and at the local pool. I'd never seen him. So all of a sudden I'd go down to the pool and there he is every morning, this guy's doing laps. And after about a week we bumped into each other. I went, "Nick, what are you doing here at the pool?" And he got very defensive. He goes, "What do you mean, Christine? I'm always at the pool at 6 o'clock. I love swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning." Now, I've been married to him for nearly 12 years. Never once in 12 years has he ever gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go swimming. And I thought, you do what you want from passion. You do what you have to when it's an obligation. I think that often that's where we kick over in our relationship with God.
But you see, our passion, it diminishes if we don't have intimacy
Absolutely.
With the Lord. And it takes time, quote, to be holy. It takes separating. This needs to be the overflow of our experience.
Yeah.
But if we haven't had intimacy with God, this is what I hear you talking about.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like I've got a formula now. I've got this little pattern. I've got this incredible teaching. What you're saying is if we'll just be who we are, spend time connected, then we'll begin to be rather than act. And it's just an incredible difference. I'm longing for the church, the Christian
totally.
Community to get healthy like this. But,
and I think the world is too, because the world's looking for authenticity, and they will believe what we say once they see that we do it. They want to see that it's true, then they'll believe that it's true. It's you can't just tell them this is the truth. I think they're looking at our lives and they're saying, is this working? Is this real for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I want to emulate that.
It's being something, not trying to be. Here's the thing I really want people to understand, and I hope you get this book. You have a website to tell where
I
you're going to be speaking?
Yeah.
What is it?
ChrisCane.com.
All right, there it is on the screen. And get the book. She is just a tremendous communicator, tremendous writer. I mean, what a blessing Hillsong has been. What a blessing she is with the Equip and Empower Ministry. I mean, you may have seen her working some with Joyce Meyer and others who just really, you know, she's blessed you. And she will. And I thank God for that. Betty and I want to be a blessing to you. But here's the thing I want people to understand. I'm not the example. You know, Betty and I, we'd like to have an exemplary life. We'd like to, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Everybody that comes in here, I'm the one they all want to help. They say, this guy needs help. So I become the model student of help and the project for everybody who comes in here. And I take it because it's obvious I need help. I know you pray for me a lot. But the thing I want you to understand is this. I'm not the example. I pursue the example.
That's right.
We're so far from perfect. We're pursuing the one who is perfect. He is the one we look to with all of our imperfections and our failures. And man, I mean, I can fall flat on my face as fast as anybody. I mean, I not only can fall in a ditch, I can dig the ditch I'm fixing to fall in. I mean, I can make a mess as big and fast as anybody I know. I think I can. I'm a professional ditch digger sometimes. And here's the deal. I'm telling you, God loves me. He really he thinks I'm a hoot. And he loves you.
That's right.
He wants a relationship with you. This is what Christine is talking about. I think she talks about it so effectively. We can be who we are in Christ. We don't have to act anymore. We don't have to act like all the religious people. It's amazing all the hats and clothes we wear trying to look like we're religious.
Yeah.
You know, the Old Testament prophet said you forsook God and built temples. And really, nothing wrong with having church buildings if they are meeting houses where we really become and grow in fellowship and relationship and not religion. And this is what Christine's talking about. It's great. You want to say thanks to Christine Cain
for
coming to be with us. Get the book. Stop acting like a Christian. Just be one. Pray I will be. Boy, sometimes I can be so tacky. I mean, sometimes, Betty, I mean, you told me this morning, I said, you're irritable. You're irritable. And I said, I know it. You made me mad. And you know what? But in a few minutes, I mean, we're in a spirit of prayer. I said, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be edgy. I don't want to be irritable, but I'm going to tell you something. If I don't have God's help, I'm a mess. And maybe you are willing to admit you're the same way, but God wants to help us. Father, I pray that every person listening says, okay, God, I know you love me. I want to be who you want me to be. Now work in my life in Jesus' name. I pray that for you with all my heart. You know something that Betty and I found to be so enriching to us and so fulfilling to us and enables us to really experience life is just help somebody else. Look at somebody else's need and meet it. Be an answer to their prayer. Look at this. Watch. I want you to watch because I'm telling you, you're going to be an answer to a need. You're going to meet a need. Watch closely.